We continue on Mem Dalet Amud Beis at the Gemara, which is about 15 lines down from the top. So the Mishnah had a discussion between Proclus, the idolater, and Rabbi Gamliel about being in the bathhouse, which had a statue of Aphrodite in the area. Rashi says the bathhouse was in the courtyard and the idol was in a different space. I guess in the outside room, as you're ordered, the front of the building as you walk in. So the Gemara asks the following question, nothing to do with the location of the idol, but actually to do with a different issue, which is that, according to the Mishnah, Proclus asked Rabbi Gamliel a question in the bathhouse, and Rabbi Gamliel answered him, saying, I'm not allowed to answer this question, which means he gave him a halachic answer in the bathhouse. So what's wrong with that? Asks the Gemara. How could Rabbi Gamliel have done this? You're not allowed to think about Torah in a bathhouse or a bathroom. Anywhere else you're allowed to think about Torah, but there you can't even think about it. Yet here, Rabbi Gamliel, by saying, I can't answer you, clearly he's thinking about Divrei Torah in the bathhouse. That's prohibited. The Lashon Chol Amar, and more than that, here he actually said it. I mean, he answered the question. It's not even just the hearer. He actually said the word. He said, I can't answer you. The Chitema, B'Lashon Chol Amar Le. So if you're going to tell me, well, he didn't say it in Hebrew. He said it in Greek or Aramaic, and therefore that might be different. V'Hamar Abaye, Dvarim Shel Chol, Mutar La'omrim B'Lashon HaKodesh, Dvarim Shel Kodesh, Asur La'omrim Shel Chol. He said, Dvarim Shel Chol, you can say even in Hebrew, or Lashon HaKodesh, I'm sorry, not classical Hebrew. But Dvarim Shel Kodesh, things that are inherently holy, you can't even say them in Lashon Chol, in a place where it's prohibited to speak Torah. So how do we resolve this issue? How can Rabbi Gamliel discuss Torah in a bathhouse? Tana, there's a braisa that taught, Kishiyatza Amr Lo Ein Meshivin B'merchatz. When he left the bathhouse, he said to him, I wasn't able to answer you in the bathhouse. So our Mishnah is wrong, it recorded it incorrectly. Rabbi Gamliel didn't answer him until he actually left the bathhouse completely. Then he said, I'm sorry I couldn't answer you there, here's what I have to say. Tosos has a different approach, but not terribly different. Tosos says there are three spaces in a bathhouse, which have three different halachic levels. The Shulchan Aruch talks about this as well. There's the bathhouse itself, then there's the preparatory room, and then there's the outside area of the bathhouse. So inside the bathhouse, you can't say anything. In the middle space, you're allowed to answer because of, you know, Shalom or other, or Eva or other concerns. So here would be a reason. And then the third place would be outside of the building. So the way Tosfos wants to understand it is that Rabbi Gamliel responded, Proclus asked the question in the bathhouse, the interior room. Rabbi Gamliel responded in the second room, in the middle room, because out of fear that he shouldn't cause a deterioration in the relationship between this particular idolater. And then he gave him the full explanation when he left the Merchatz completely. So those are the two ways to understand this answer, but essentially the same. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chama, and this is what the Gemara is going to focus on for the rest of the daf. Amar Rav Chama bar Yosef, Rabbi Yoshia, Teshuva, Genuva, Heshivu, Rabbi Gamliel. Says Rav Chama, in the name of Rav Yoshia, Rabbi Gamliel was deceptive. He didn't give him a full answer. He kind of pushed him off. Va'ani Omer, and says Rabbi Chama, even though that's Rav Yoshia's opinion, I say, Ein a Genuva. No, it was actually a good answer. So what's happening here? Ma genuvte tika amrlo. What was the deception that Rabbi Oshia believes? Zu omeres al piya biv v'chol adam ashtim b'faneha. That Rabbi Gamliel said, the Aphrodite is standing in this trench, the statue is in the trench, and everyone's urinating in front of it. So says Rav Oshia, v'chim ashtim b'faneha mayavi. Who cares if they're urinating in front of it? Why does that ruin it? V'amar Rabba pa'or yochiach. Look at Baal Pa'or, shemifar in lefanav b'chol yom v'ein abato. That they defecate in front of Baal Pa'or every day, and nevertheless the idol doesn't become nullified. So what's wrong with urinating in front of Aphrodite? So he says, Rabbi Acham, Avani Omer Eino Kenuva. It's not a deceptive answer. You know why? Zu Avodasa Bekach, Vazu Ein Avodasa Bekach. He says, when it comes to Peor, that's how you worship it, by defecating in front of it. But when it comes to worshiping Aphrodite, you don't worship it by urinating in front of her. And therefore, it was a good answer. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Genuvta Mehacha. And I'll tell you where the deception was. It's from this piece. To Kamerle, Ani Lo Basi Bigvula, Vihiba Bigvuli, says Rabbi Gamliel, I didn't come into her property, she came into my territory, implying that if he would have come into her territory, then it would have been a problem. But who cares, even if he came into her territory, why would that be an issue? Says the Mishnah later on in Nun Aleph and Beis, that you can walk into the property of the Merchatz, the bathhouse that belongs to an idolater, and you can utilize it so long as you don't give thanks. Shalom betova, meaning you don't Rashi says shalom yachzik tova lakomrim, that you don't acknowledge that and give them a gratitude of thanks for allowing you to use their space. So what emerges then is that so long as you don't give them gratitude, even if they preceded you, you would be allowed to be in the bathhouse. So what kind of deceptive reasoning was Rabbi Gamliel offering the Proclus, the Komer? Vani Omer Eina Gnuva, however, Rabbi Chama says, no, I don't think it was a deceptive answer. Shelo betovas Rabbi Gamliel, ketovas acherim. Rabbi Gamliel, as Rashi explains, was so chashiv, his shelo betova, his non-acknowledgement, is just as strong as an acknowledgement for everyone else. Since he was so chashiv, just his entering into the space is an acknowledgement which would set off reverberations all around and would communicate some form of a silent acknowledgement. So that's the second way to resolve it. Rav Simi Bar Chiya Amar Genufta Mihacha, he says, no, the deception is found over here. Dekamra lo zu amenas alabiv v'chalda mishtanim b'faneh. He goes back to the, Rav Simi goes back to the earlier one, that the Aphrodite statue was standing in the trench and everyone was urinating in front of her. Dekhi mishtanim b'faneh mayhavi, what difference does it make if they're urinating in front of her? Vatanan, rok b'faneh, hashtin b'faneh, gira v'zarak b'satsoa harezu enib b'tela. If you spit in front of an idol, you urinate in front of an idol, you drag the idol in excrement or mud, or you throw excrement at the idol, it never becomes nullified. So who cares if you're urinating in front of the idol? It doesn't become nullified. It's still chashuv. And therefore, what kind of answer was he giving that they're urinating in front of the idol? Vani Omer, Rav Chama says, ain't a genuva. That's not a, there wasn't any deception there. Hasam lefi shaita hu rasach aleh avhadar mefayis la hacha kol shaita v'shaita bizziluza Bilazula Kaima. That the, in those situations, that Mishnah is talking about a one-time thing where in a fit of anger, the idol worshiper got angry and dragged the idol or urinated in front of it or spit in front of it. So it's not an issue. Why? Because after that act of anger, he calmed down and appeased the idol. And therefore, it's never buttle. But in this situation where you're urinating in front of the idol, it's a constant. It doesn't stop. There isn't any appeasement, and therefore you can't compare the two. And therefore the answer was a good answer. That's the third one given. Rabba Bar Ula Amar Gunuf de Mehacha. Now he says the deception was found from here. Dekamrle Ein Omrim Nase Merchatz Noila Aphrodite Ela Nase Aphrodite Noila Merchatz. Based on the answer given, which was that we don't say that the bathhouse becomes an enhancement of Aphrodite, but rather Aphrodite enhances the bathhouse. So that was the answer he gave. Why was that deceptive? Dechi amar nasa merchatz l'Aphrodite noi my havi. Who cares whether the bathhouse becomes an enhancement to Aphrodite or not? Vatanya ha'omer ba'yizel l'overes kachavim, kozel l'overes kachavim lo amar klum. Shein hektish l'overes kachavim. He says, there's no such thing as any hektish to, you can't consecrate something to idolaters. Meaning words alone does not create hektish with regards to idolatry. With regards to Jewish items, yes, your words make something hektish. But here, just saying that this is hektish, is holy, it doesn't work for an idolater. So similarly here, when you put the statue in, who cares whether you put it in first or last, or with enhancement or not an enhancement, if there isn't any as sacrificial, any item of worship, formal worship there, it means nothing.
So that's why it was a deceptive answer. However, says Rabbi Chama, "V'ani omer ena gnuva." I don't think it's a deceptive answer. Nihi de itzure lo mitzra. Granted that there is no iser to go to the bathhouse, but noi mi'aika. The reality is that there is a noi. There is an enhancement. So what kind of answer is that? It's a very strange answer. So Rashi tries to give an answer. It's unclear what he says here. It's just, "Ihava rachitza noi la." But it's kachavim. At the end of the day, if the bathing was an enhancement for the idol, you're not allowed to build up the idol. In other words, what it sounds like, even though technically speaking there wouldn't be a biblical issue, as this is the way Tosfos understands it, even if there wouldn't be a biblical issue of going into the bathhouse because it's not really there's no hekdesh for an idol, nevertheless, the fact that you're bathing in this space, which was now has a shame Aphrodite in it, it's connected, associated with Aphrodite, then you would possibly not be allowed to get benefit from it. That's why Rav Gamliel had to say that it's not that the Aphrodite is enhancing, it's not that the bathhouse is enhancing Aphrodite, but Aphrodite is enhancing the bathhouse, and that's why it was permissible for me to be there. So those are the four answers given to explain whether to justify or defend Rabbi Gamliel's responses to Proclus. It's amazing that the Gemara is going out of its way to try to find flaws in Rabbi Gamliel's argument to show that he gave a deceptive answer to an idolater, when really we should be, presumably we should be defending Rabbi Gamliel, that his answers were solid answers. So you see how the Gemara doesn't leave any stone unturned, focusing on Rabbi Gamliel's possibly deceptive answers and not on the challenges offered by Proclus.